son Absalom's rebellion leads to have this bloodless coup. He lets him take Jerusalem unopposed, which is exactly what he wanted. Why does there need to be a ton of bloodshed? I'm just going to back off. I'm just going to leave. I'm going to allow him to come in and take the throne. There's some important things that are happening in all of this. I don't know if you've ever read Gene Edwards' small paperback. It was called Three Kings. And it deals with the heart of King Saul and, well, supposedly King Absalom. He was really never truly king, but he took over the kingship. And David himself. And what seems to be taking place is, over and over, David has realized, this is not my throne. This is a throne that God gives and God can take away. He wasn't going to take it from King Saul. It was God's business. David realized the throne was not his, not to have, not to take, not to protect, and not to keep. God's business. Gosh, if only we could see our own ministries that way. Those blessings that God has brought into our lives, what if he wants to take them away? What if he wants to give it to someone else? Maybe that'll do a much better job than us. David had two choices: to lose everything or to become a Saul. Saul was the one to be able to take it and hold on to something, and same with Absalom. He knew he could stop Absalom. He needed only to be a Saul. He could have shut this down. He was much more mighty. And the guys that he had around himself, he could have stopped this immediately, but he knew it'd be the blood of his son and the blood shed of so many of the children of Israel. But he loved his nation and he loved his people. He must have thought at this time of this coup taking place, in my old age, shall I now become Saul? I never reverted to that earlier. Would now be the time? I don't think so. I'm sure all of his leaders were telling him, David, you underestimate your adversary, speaking about his son Absalom, to which I'm sure he would retort, and you underestimate my God. And see, that's one of the lessons that you and I need to learn, because every single day, that challenge to, just in this situation, become a Saul, that challenge will be there every day. Go to the flesh. Go to your own understanding. Go to something that you know you can grab on your own, but you know it's not a God thing. Yeah, the world will always be whispering in our ear, but you're underestimating your adversary. And our response has to be, but you underestimate my God. The kingdom is not that valuable. Let him have it, if that be the Lord's will. I will not learn the ways of either Saul's or Absalom's. That's what David's saying. This paragraph or this verse in chapter 16, verse 15, is actually picking up from the very last thing said in chapter 15, where it said, so Hushai, David's friend, went into the city and Absalom came into Jerusalem. See, Hushai's mission was to contradict the counsel of Ahithophel. Ahithophel was one of David's right-hand men for many, many years. But you remember that his granddaughter was Bathsheba, and it seems that for about 20 years he's bugged at what David did to his granddaughter, and rightfully so on one hand. But as Hushai is, as David is fleeing, is saying, I'm on your side, he says, no, go back into Jerusalem there and pretend to be one of David's counselor and give him bad counsel, basically. Contradict the counsel of whatever Ahithophel says, do the opposite, or say the opposite. And so that was the mission. And then as chapter 16 started, we heard from a couple other guys, Ziba and Shimei, last Sunday. But we pick it back up in verse 15. It says, meanwhile, Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with him. And so it was when Hushai, the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, that Hushai said to Absalom, long live the king, long live the king. And so Absalom said to Hushai, is this your loyalty to your friend? Why did you not go with your friend? meaning his dad David, of course. And Hushai said to Absalom, "No, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his I will be, and with him I will remain. Furthermore, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? As I have served in your father's presence, so I will be in your presence." And Absalom said to Ahithophel, "Give advice as to what we should do." And Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house, and all Israel will hear that you are abhorred by your father. Then the hands of all who are with you will be strong." And so they pitched a tent for Absalom on top of the house, and Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Interesting. God would still use this man and still speak through him and allow him to be God's voice, even though he's on the wrong team. But God has some things that he needs to accomplish, and he'll even use this man and his dastardly deeds to accomplish those things. Now, first, we meet this Hushai in verse 15 through 19 there. And Hushai is going to win Absalom's confidence. But it's very clever and interesting on his words and how he very finely crafts his words, maybe even to the point of not lying. He approaches Absalom and says, "Long live the king, long live the king." But the question would be, well, which king? I think he still means David. Long live the king David. Now, he's absolutely saying it in his presence, and so it's kind of speaking out of both sides of his cheeks, so to speak. And then in verse 18, again, who is he talking about? Where he says, "No, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel chose, his I will be, and with him I'll remain." Again, I kind of think that he's still talking about King David. He was the one chosen by God and by the people and is still chosen by God and a lot of the people. And then he says in verse 19, "Should I not serve in the presence of his son? As I have served in your father's presence, so will I be in your presence." I'm going to serve in your presence, but I'm still going to be serving your dad, actually. But you'll find that out later. I think that's kind of what's going on there. In verse 20 through 23, we talk about Ahithophel, and now he's giving this counsel, and it's pretty ugly. Again, he had been David's esteemed counselor, but he turned traitor and sided with Absalom. He is the Judas in the camp. That's how David would see him later, and even there's a psalm written about him, Psalm 55, in verse 12 through 14, that says, "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man of my equal, or a man like myself, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in the throng." Now, speaking of Ahithophel, and later would be attributed to Judas Iscariot, one who was very close to him. What's taking place here and why Ahithophel gives this advice, a few different things going on here. It was very customary for kings in that day to assume the rights over the harem of their predecessors. It shows I'm in charge. I'm even taking his former concubines, and so that's part of the reason why this outrageous act is taking place against his concubines. It was designed to reinforce his claim to David's throne. Here Absalom breaks down every possible bridge for reconciliation. He has not only crossed the bridge, but he burns his bridge to ever fix anything with his dad again. It's basically to let all of his guys know that are behind him and all the kingdom to know, this is my kingdom. Anything that was formerly David's is mine now, and there is no turning back and no going back. Here, that's what he's communicating to his followers, no turning back. The revolution would continue. But he's also doing something else. He's fulfilling Nathan's prophecies back in chapter 12, in verse 11 and 12. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you. This is the prophet Nathan speaking to David because of his sin with Bathsheba. He says, I'll raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I'll take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. And so as David lusted on the rooftop, and now that's where his concubines would be violated. Well, let's move on to chapter 17. It says, moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, and what's going to happen here is Ahithophel is going to give his counsel. What do we do now? What do we do with David? How do we snuff him out? How do we deal with him? And Ahithophel is going to give his counsel, and then Absalom's going to turn to Hushai, and he's going to give his counsel, and we'll see which one they pick. And so in verse 1, he says, now let me choose 12,000 men, and I will rise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak and make him afraid, and all the people who are with him will flee, and I will strike only the king. Then I will bring back all the people to you, when all return except the man whom you seek, and all the people will be at peace. And the saying pleased Absalom and all the elders of Israel. So this is Ahithophel's correct advice. It's very interesting as Ahithophel gives this counsel here, he places himself front and center, using phrases like, let me now choose, and I will arise, I will come, I will strike, I will bring back. It's short, simple, and to the point, but very eye-focused. Basically, he wants to be the general. He wants to supervise the murderer of his enemy, King David, who had violated his granddaughter years earlier. His plan is actually the good plan. It's actually the correct plan to take out David. Had he done this, if this is the route that Absalom goes, then David's done. It's a small army. We're going to move swiftly. We're going to attack suddenly and at night and have David's death as the one great goal. Not everybody else. Let's take out David. It's over with. And he'd bring back all the followers, make them swear loyalty to the king, and be a quick victory, very little bloodshed, and it's over with. Now I want you to match that up in verses 1 through 4 there to what Hushai says. He's going to take a whole bunch more verses, listen to the style of language and the words that he used and the similes, and pick it up in verse 5. Then Absalom said, now call Hushai, the Archite also, and let us hear what he says too. Sounds like Hushai wasn't right there in the room, but he brings him in, wants to get a second opinion, brings in this other counselor. Verse 6, when Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom spoke to him saying, Ahithophel has spoken in this manner. Shall we do as he says? If not, speak up. And so Hushai said to Absalom, the advice that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time. For, said Hushai, you know your father and his men, that they are mighty men, and they are enraged in their minds like a bear, robbed of her cubs in the field. And your father is a man of war and will not camp with the people. Surely by now he is hidden in some pit or in some other place. And it will be when some of them are overthrown at the first that whoever hears it will say, there is a slaughter among the people who will follow Absalom. And even he who is valiant, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will melt completely. For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and those who are with him are valiant men. Therefore, I advise that all Israel be fully gathered to you from Dan to Beersheba, like the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that you go to battle in person. So we will come upon him in some place where he may be found, and we will fall on him as the dew falls on the ground. And of him and all the men who are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he has withdrawn into a city, then all Israel shall bring ropes to that city, and we will pull it into that river, into the river, until there is not one small stone found there. So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel." For the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom. That verse 14 right there really kind of sums up kind of the whole behind-the-scenes divine appointment of all of this. We'll read from 15 through 23. 15, then Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, "Thus and so Ahithophel advised Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus and so I have advised. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, 'Do not spend this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily cross over, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up.'" Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed at Enrogel. Remember earlier, I don't know if you remember from last week, but David had said before he had left, he had sent the priests back in to the city of Jerusalem. They had brought out the Ark of the Covenant, and he says, "Now go back home. You stay there, kind of be my ears on the ground." So that's Zadok and Abiathar. But both of those priests had sons, they're mentioned in 17, Jonathan and Ahimaaz. They're going to kind of be his runners to be able to bring the communications his way. 17. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed at Enrogel. That's really just on the other side of the Hinnom Valley, and so it's not too far away, within a mile from Jerusalem. "For they dared not be seen coming into the city, so a female servant would come and tell them, and they would go and tell King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom, but both of them went away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, who had a well in his court, and they went down into it." So it's really a cistern that they go down into to hide. "Then the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread grain, ground grain on it, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman at the house, and they said, 'Where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan?' So the woman said to them, 'They have gone over the water brook.' When they had searched and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. Now it came to pass after they had departed that they came up out of the well and went and told David and said to David, 'Arise and cross over the water quickly, for thus has Ahithophel advised against you.' And so David and all the people who were with him arose and crossed over the Jordan. By morning light, not one of them was left who had not gone over the Jordan. Now when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, he saddled a donkey and arose and went home to his house, to his city. Then he put his household in order and hanged himself and died. And he was buried in his father's tomb." That's the last verse we're going to take this morning. But let's go back and look at Hushai's crafty advice from 5 through 14. He takes this entirely different approach. And instead of focusing on himself, he focuses on Absalom's ego. And it works. He doesn't use these "I will" statements about himself, but rather a series of statements about the new king that couldn't help but ignite Absalom's imagination and inflate his ego. Hushai laid an effective verbal trap, and Absalom steps right into it. I want you to note the similes. Similes are a figure of speech involving the comparison of one thing with another thing of a different kind. It's used to make a description more emphatic or vivid. We talk about somebody being as brave as a lion or crazy like a fox. Those would be similes. And you can always note them in Scripture when it uses this figurative language, because a simile will always have the word "like" or the word "as" in front of it. And so we'll look at four of them here. Like a bear robbed of her cubs. Like the heart of a lion. Like the sand by the seashore in multitude. As a dew falls on the ground. And one more as he talks about grabbing the ropes and putting them around the city, and we're going to pull the whole entire city into the river. Now, obviously, that's figurative language, but basically, there's not going to be a stone left standing. It's a big wipeout. So in each one of these, hit David now? Him and his men are so angry, they've had to leave their homes here in Jerusalem. They're on the run again. They've done this before. They know what it is to camp out in the wilderness. This is like, yeah, this is like a mama bear who somebody just stole her cubs and she is on the rampage. No, this would not be the time to strike. That's what he's saying about this. Hushai, the master of metaphor. Next he says, like the heart of a lion. He's saying, come on, David is a great tactician, a mighty warrior and surrounded by experienced warriors who fear nothing. He's too smart to be staying with his troops. If that's what Ahithophel says, that's what you're after, just David, understand there's going to be so many layers of guys and he's going to be hidden away in some cave. You're never going to find him. But he says, but you, Absalom, you need to be the general leading out in front. Take the time to amass all the armies from the north to the south, from Dan all the way down to Beersheba. It's going to take a little time to put together. He's obviously, what's he doing? He's giving David time to get away. That's what this whole thing is for. And so he's telling him, you lead, you go out front. Imagine yourself, the conquering general out in front. And then he just lets his pride, you know, do the rest. Then he says, as the dew falls on the ground, he says, the way we're going to slaughter, it's like the dew on the ground. Again, a great simile that's there. We're not going to kill just David. We're going to slaughter them all. Take them all out. They're all rebels against you. Such graphic illustration of the dew falling on the ground. Silent, rapid, irresistible. And bring ropes to that city. This hyperbole, we're going to raise it to the ground. That's what we're going to do. Again, very interesting is we all have people counseling us in our life, speaking into our life different things. And here's a very interesting situation of good advice and bad advice, and yet God's advice takes the bad advice, is the better advice to accomplish his will here. It's kind of a crazy thing. Ahithophel is actually giving the good advice. See, he's giving the good plan. Small army, move swiftly, attack suddenly at night, and have David as your main focus. That was actually the plan that would have worked for him. Hushai's plan was the bad plan. Use a big army, go slow, attack during the day.